Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship and a very happy new year to you all. And here we have the leaflet. We're back to normal with the words of the hymns printed out here. And a word of thanks to our elder Ross Glover, who's been largely instrumental in bringing this about. So we open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn number 30, I Waited for the Lord My God, hymn 30. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. A thousand years in your sight are like a day which has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Let us pray. Eternal God, who have been our dwelling place in all generations and have encompassed us with blessing, we praise you and give thanks for your unchanging goodness. Our times are in your hand. At the outset of another year, we cast ourselves anew upon your mercy and rely as ever on your fatherly care. Lord, you know the secrets of our hearts. We confess our sins and shortcomings, especially those by which we have grieved you in the year just past. Whatever form our sins and failings have taken, Lord, we ask you to forgive us and help us to steer clear of such sins in the future. We pray that you will lead us through the uncertainties of this new year of our earthly pilgrimage, protect us from the dangers of the way, make us able to meet and deal with the duties, the trials, the joys and sorrows which we may meet. Grant that every change which the year brings with it may bring us nearer to you, our God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 152, Praise the Lord, His Glories Show, 152. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 40, at verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 1. Mark chapter 1, at verse 1. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 110, Glory Be to God the Father, 110.
Thank you.
Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 3, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. There are two things we ought to keep in mind about Mark's Gospel before we embark on any study of it. In the first place, although it does not come first in our version of the New Testament, it was the first of the four Gospels to appear in writing. It appeared about the year 65, that is to say, 30 years or so after the resurrection of Jesus. Secondly, the material in Mark's Gospel comes very largely from the disciple Peter. Mark became a companion of Peter and journeyed about with him on his missionary travels. So that what we have in this gospel is as near as anyone can get to an eyewitness account of the earthly life of Jesus. Those are significant points, and we endeavor to keep them in mind. Right at the beginning of his gospel, Mark makes it clear who he believes Jesus to be. The beginning, he says, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No discussion about it. No putting forward of opinion or theory. Jesus, Son of God. Mark tells it straight. Then he refers to a line from the prophet Malachi, this line about preparing the way for the Lord and making a straight path for him, a theme which is also mentioned by Isaiah. It's a theme of the prophets who are concerned about the unfortunate state into which the nation's religion is falling. It's time to straighten things up, to purify the life and especially the religious life of the nation. Prepare the way for the Lord, make a straight path for him. It's a recurring theme throughout the history of the human race, to halt the decline, to stop the continuing slide into slipshod ways and easygoing attitudes. Not only the prophets of Old Testament times, now John the Baptist, as we read at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, and every revival movement which the church has seen in the course of its history, they're all seeking to bring things back to the way they were, the way they ought to be. And this is the purpose of Jesus. This is the aim of his 3 years or so of public ministry, to re-establish the relationship of the ordinary people with their God, and so to purify the life of the whole community. My late brother-in-law worked for a large part of his working life with the roads department, making new roads, repairing existing roads where they were in need of repair, altering the line of a road where that might need to be done from time to time. Bill's job was to supervise the squads which carried out all that kind of work. And he took a pride in the work, liked to see it done properly. He had scathing criticism to make of people who did it slapdash. Throw some tar into a pothole and smooth it off on the top. The repair done like that wouldn't last any time, he said. Prepare the way for the Lord. Yes, no slipshod work can be allowed when it comes to preparing a way for the Lord. Whoever is preparing that particular way must see to it that he or she does a proper job. Well, Mark connects the preparing of the way with the appearance on the scene of John the Baptist. He came proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The rite of baptism was not something entirely new when John the Baptist came. It had been practiced for some time, but it was not for the Jewish people themselves. It was for those who were coming into the Jewish faith from outside. They had not known the Jewish law, therefore they had not obeyed the Jewish law, therefore they were deemed to be in need of purification, and hence the rite of baptism. But John was giving a new slant to the rite of baptism. He was claiming that the Jews also were in need of purification. Their lives left a lot to be desired. They didn't have God controlling their life, and so they needed to prepare a way for God to come back into them. This preparing of the way, it's something that's needed by all of us in every succeeding generation. When we come to the turn of the year, the newspapers like to present us with a review of the past year, the events which took place, the memorable things which happened, births, deaths, and marriages, people leaving positions of importance, other people succeeding to those positions, events in sport and in the world of show business, all that kind of thing. A whole lot of separate events. But in a very real sense, history is not a series of unconnected events. It is a process. It's God's work. God who can see the end in the beginning. God who knows where it's all leading. God who has a purpose for his world. A purpose for the church. A purpose for individual Christians like you and me. We're involved in this continuing process, and so we're able to help the process along or to hinder it. Yes, we can hinder it, but we can't stop it. There's a challenge put before us as we live this earthly life. It's the challenge to do what little we can to help God's purpose along. There is the temptation not to bother to put in our effort because we think it won't amount to much, or because we may not live long enough to see the results of it. But the call is for us to resist that temptation, to give our best while we're here, so that others may benefit, and so that God's purpose of good for this world may be helped along and not hindered. We may have heard the old verse, "In youth, because I could not be a singer, I did not even try to write a song. I set no little trees along the roadside, because I knew their growth would take so long. But now, from wisdom that the years have brought me, I know that it may be a blessed thing to plant a tree for someone else to water, or make a song for someone else to sing." We have to remember that we worship a God who continually gives of himself. We have to keep reminding ourselves that the purpose is God's purpose, and that God sees the end of it all. We may not know what good our little contribution is doing. We certainly don't see the whole picture as God sees it. But that's not what matters. What matters is that we must use what God has given us. The talents and abilities he's endowed us with, no matter how small and insignificant those may seem. The Lord Jesus Christ never disparaged the small contribution if it was the best that a person could do. The widow's mite dropped into the offering plate, the loaves and fishes which triggered off the feeding of the 5,000. Every little that we can do for the good of others and for the furtherance of God's purpose, whether or not we ever see the results of it, every contribution helps to prepare the way for the Lord. Others have helped in this way in time past, and we've benefited from their efforts. How can we refuse now when our turn comes? How can we refuse to give our best and to go on giving our best? And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 210, Awake, My Soul, and With the Sun. 210. Let us pray. Almighty God, we bring to you our material offerings. Accept and bless them, we pray, and let them be used in the fullest service of your church and your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for all your goodness and mercy, for the way you have led us and the gifts you have given us, the joys we have experienced, and also the sorrows and trials through which you have brought us safely, for the measure of success you have allowed us to enjoy, and the guidance you have given us in the path of duty. Especially we thank you for Jesus Christ, your greatest gift. Help us to live as true Christians, and to keep our attention fixed on him all the way through this earthly life. We pray for the church, here and in all the world. Let your people find a new zeal in your service. Bless our country and the nations of the world. We ask your blessing for the Queen and the royal family. Guide and help those in positions of authority and responsibility. Help them to give their best in the service of what is right and good. We commend to your love and care those who are ill, and those concerned about dear ones who are ill. Help them to know your presence and give them strength to see them through difficult times. We pray for our friends and kinsfolk wherever they are. Keep them pure in life and steadfast in faith. Teach us all to know that you, our God, are always near and that nothing can separate us from your love, the love we know in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the communion of saints, the lives of those who have completed their earthly course, with whom we still have fellowship through your Holy Spirit. Grant that we may follow their example and leave likewise a good example for others to follow, and bring us to the life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, the midweek service on Wednesday morning, which has had a break now over Christmas and New Year, resumes on Wednesday of this week, Wednesday the 6th, 10:30 in the small hall. Everyone be welcome along there. 10:30 on Wednesday for the midweek service. Meanwhile, we close this service with hymn 324, Angels from the Realms of Glory. 324. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.